This is Your Calls One Planet series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to talk about a recent appeals court decision to uphold more than $2 billion in damages against Johnson & Johnson. The court said the company knew there was asbestos in its products like baby powder. The money will go to women who say their ovarian cancers were caused by the company's talcum products. Joining us to talk about more is Isabel Chowdhury, Senior Policy Manager at the National Women's Health Network. Hi, Isabel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first off, can you give us a little bit of background? Tell us more about why this case and when this case was filed.
Yes. This case came out on Tuesday, and it was a result of a group of women, two women and their families, who had alleged that Johnson & Johnson's talcum baby powder product caused their ovarian cancer. The court awarded the plaintiffs, it was split into two awards, and so the ultimate $900 million to Johnson & Johnson subsidiary, and $715.9 million against Johnson & Johnson, as the company. Johnson & Johnson has had suits against them for several years now. They have thousands of suits against them, so this was definitely a victory for many of the consumers who have been fighting this issue for years.
The court reduced the amount by about half. Initially, it was $4.69 billion in damages, and now it is $2 billion. But as you said, this is still a very important verdict, right?
Yes, definitely. Yes, the court did reverse some of the jury's award. The appeals court lowered it, and they applied the punitive damages to the amount that I had just mentioned. But this is definitely a victory. Their products have raised concerns for several years. Independent research groups had discovered traces of asbestos in their products. And then last year, they had recalled a big lot of their products. And then recently, last month in May, they announced that they are going to discontinue selling the talcum baby powder products in the U.S. and Canada, but then continue to sell these products abroad.
And to even add a little more context to this, in 2018, Reuters came out with a big investigation. They examined many documents, as well as depositions, trial testimony, and they show that from at least 1971 to the early 2000, Johnson & Johnson's raw talc and finished powders sometimes tested positive for small amounts of asbestos. And company executives, mine managers, science, doctors, and lawyers fretted over the problem and how to address it while failing to disclose it to regulators or the public. So Johnson & Johnson, according to what Reuters uncovered, has known about this problem since the 1970s. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, yeah, cut out there, but I think I heard you correctly. Johnson & Johnson have known about this issue since the late 1950s. Several of their documents and memos demonstrate that they were aware that their product had traces of asbestos, and we know that asbestos is a known carcinogen and causes cancer. This is public information, public knowledge. It's been recorded.
Right. And according to Reuters, the World Health Organization and other authorities recognize no safe level of exposure to asbestos. While most people exposed never develop cancer, for some, even small amounts are enough to trigger the disease years later. Just how small hasn't been established, but many plaintiffs allege that the amounts they inhaled when they dusted themselves with the tainted talcum powder were enough.
Yeah. So asbestos is a very dangerous, hazardous chemical, or it's a dangerous hazardous substance, and even the tiniest particle of asbestos can cause cancer and illness and even death. And so this is a very serious matter, and for them to have known that their products were potentially hazardous, or there were trace amounts of this of asbestos in their products, should have caused for them to discontinue selling the talc powder products long ago.
And I'm sure a lot of listeners are saying, okay, so the company knew about this. Well, what about the government? And Reuters has another investigation that they filed in December of 2019, and I'll just read from part of it. At an invitation-only gathering late last year, U.S. regulators and their guests huddled at a hotel near Washington, D.C. to discuss the best way to detect cancer-causing asbestos in talc powders and cosmetics. The Asbestos and Talc Symposium was sponsored by the FDA, and it was dominated by the industry. Most of the 21 non-government participants had done work for talc companies, such as testing and serving as expert witnesses and consultants. And key sessions were led by witnesses for Johnson & Johnson in lawsuits alleging the company failed to warn customers that its baby powder was tainted with asbestos. This piece is called "The FDA Bowed to the Industry for Decades as Alarms Were Sounded Over Talc." What can you tell us just about, you know, the government's role in all of this?
Yeah, so I read that Reuters report last year, and it is a really very unfortunate issue. Currently, the Food and Drug Administration does not have the authority to recall or order manufacturers to recall products that are harmful, like Johnson & Johnson's talcum powder products, really left to the companies to voluntarily make these decisions. And we've seen, based on the fact that this issue for so long, that if we leave the decision to the manufacturer, then that they're not always going to take the best interests of consumers. They're not going to put consumers first. And so the government definitely needs to have more authority. And, you know, at the National Women's Health Network, we have been fighting to get legislation passed to provide the Food and Drug Administration with the ability to have the authority to order manufacturers to recall products like this when it's discovered that their products are harmful.
Right. The investigation found that over the past 50 years, the FDA has relied upon the industry, even as outside experts and citizens, people who buy these products, repeatedly raised serious health concerns about talc powders and cosmetics. How does the asbestos end up in products like baby powder?
Yeah. So when talc is mined, so when miners are, or people who are mining for the substance, when they mine the talc, it can be commingled with asbestos. And so it's very hard to separate asbestos from the talc substance during that process. And unfortunately, for years, for decades, companies have just used talc, and there's always a risk that during that process of extracting the talc from the earth or from where it is mined, that it will be commingled with asbestos.
And talc is used in a lot of products, right? We're talking about blush, foundation, lipstick, eyeshadow.
Yeah, it's used in many cosmetic products. In makeup, it's used in many personal care products like baby powder. It's in cosmetics and personal care products, and there are safer alternatives like cornstarch. And even Johnson & Johnson has the same talc product or talc-based product in cornstarch, or they have the same product but with cornstarch as a replacement for talc. And so we do have alternatives that are more safe. So it's really frustrating that companies are still using a product that has so much risk, or an ingredient, I should say, that has so much risk.
According to the New York Times, Mark Lanier, the lawyer who represented the plaintiffs, he's urging people to discard any baby powder they had in their homes. On May 19th, Johnson & Johnson said it would stop selling its baby powder talc in the United States and Canada, but it will continue to sell in several countries in Africa and Brazil?
So Johnson & Johnson's statement on May 19th stated that they will continue to sell these products abroad. In my research, I have found that there are several places where Johnson & Johnson has business segments as well as facilities, and those places happen to be countries in Africa, like South Africa, Ghana, and Kenya, and they also have Brazil is also home to all three of its business segments, which includes the consumer segment that sells its the talc-based powders.
And they heavily market this to Black and Brown people, right?
They do. They have, and you know, Reuters did a really excellent report outlining the really gross practices that they engaged in to market their products specifically to Black women, Latinx women, overweight women in Chicago, in the South. And so, yes, they have aggressively targeted and doubled down on targeting these communities.
And in our final minutes, as of March, the company faced more than 19,000 lawsuits. The company prevailed in some cases, lost in others. It's appealing nearly all of the cases it lost. We should also mention that according to the New York Times, some of the women have actually, sadly, six plaintiffs in the case passed away before the trial started. Five more women have died since the jury trial ended in 2018. And this is, again, according to the lawyer, Mark Lanier.
Yeah. So this is not a situation or an issue to be taken lightly. I think because the federal government does not have the authority to force manufacturers to discontinue selling these products, consumers are just often unaware that, you know, the products that are in the stores are not necessarily safe. And time again, you know, we have evidence, we have public record, and you can see people have actually died. There have been hearings about this with witnesses who have lost family members. And so this is a very serious matter, and it's just really unfortunate that we don't have legislation yet, and I'm very hopeful that legislation will be passed soon to at least provide the Food and Drug Administration the authority to take action against manufacturers who engage in practices and sell products that are very harmful and deadly.
Do you expect that other countries will also take action, especially countries in Africa and Brazil where the company plans to still sell this product?
I do. We need to connect. When I say we, the U.S. needs to connect with, I think, global, you know, NGOs and governments to protect everyone worldwide from this issue. The European Union has done a good job at banning certain chemicals that are of issue. I'm looking forward to the work and the actions that will take place to prevent this from happening to women.
Well,
especially
Isabel,
historically marginalized communities.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry, your line is cutting in and out, but thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Isabel Chowdhury is Senior Policy Manager at the National Women's Health Network. You can find out more about their work and about the Missouri Appeals Court ordering Johnson & Johnson to pay $2 billion in damages to women who said they developed ovarian cancer after using the company's talcum products contaminated with asbestos. This includes the iconic baby powder. You can also find the special reports from Reuters, and we are going to bring on those reporters in the coming months to talk more about those investigations. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for keeping our studio going. And I hope you can join us for tomorrow's show. We will speak with doctors about how the COVID pandemic has disproportionately impacted communities of color. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.